Well, tonight we come to the end of the book of Habakkuk, and before we get to the substance of the chapter, lately I've been reading this little book. It's called Finding God in the Darkness, about Christians who have gone through difficult times in their lives and how they have experienced God's care. Each chapter is the story of one Christian. Chapter one, for example, begins with the story of Pat Cardy. You may remember the name of the mother of the little girl Jennifer, who was kidnapped and murdered in 1981, and her body was found in a dam outside Hillsborough. Where is God in such times? Chapter two is the story of Elizabeth and Donald McKay, a lifetime working in the civil service and hoping for a long and happy retirement. But shortly after retirement, Elizabeth is diagnosed with a degenerative brain problem and Donald becomes her carer. Where is God in such times? Chapter 6 is the story of Lena Cowie, whose little boy David is born with cerebral palsy and is left a quadriplegic. Chapter 7 is the story of Rachel and Kate, two sisters, growing up in a manse, but one day Daddy comes home and announces he no longer loves Mummy and goes off with a member of the congregation and sets up home with her. Chapter 11 is the story of Katie Morrison, who marries a recovering alcoholic, and that man commits a serious crime and is committed to life imprisonment. And chapter 12 is the story of Jenny and Alistair Brown. He had left work as an architect, he trained as a gospel minister, and yet just 16 months after ordination, he develops ME and never works again. And yet each of these people, the thread through this book is how God has helped them, God's care for them, and how they have known joy in the trial. It's a harrowing read, and I'll come back to it at the end this evening. But one of the chapters could easily have been entitled Habakkuk's Story, because Habakkuk is facing similar harrowing experiences. Why are the wicked prospering all around him in society, and the faithful seem to be nowhere? Where is God when life hurts? Why do prayers seem to go unanswered? And tonight he is facing the reality of an invasion by an army, a cruel Babylonian army. What will become of him and what will become of the nation? How to respond appropriately as a believer, as someone who's trusting in God? And so as we come to the substance of chapter 3 this evening, we began to look at it last week. It was the beginning of a prayer. The whole chapter is a prayer. And he began by praying for spiritual revival, and we long for spiritual revival. We pray for spiritual revival in the land. And in verses 3 and 4, Habakkuk then gets caught up with a sense of the glory of God, that God is holy, that God's glory covers the heavens and his praise fills the earth, that his splendor is like the sunrise and rays flash from his hand where his power is hidden. He's maybe thinking of God on Mount Sinai meeting with Moses as he gives the law to Moses. And it is important what vision we have of God. Is your God a small God? Or is your God the great God of the Bible? The God who has acted, the God who has created, the God who has redeemed his people, and the God who in Jesus Christ has acted for the salvation of sinners. And so Habakkuk, as he thinks about God, he starts to say things like verse 5, that plague goes before him, pestilence follows his steps. Maybe thinking of the plagues of Egypt. Some modern people think that sickness never comes from God. Yet here, clearly sickness is going before God and following God's actions. And who knows how God is going to use COVID in our day. John MacArthur tells of a recently paralyzed teenage girl named Polly who was having suicidal thoughts. And he told her that if she believed in Christ, her eternal soul would be saved, and that's what would ultimately matter. And Polly trusted Christ and responded positively to the gospel. Who knows how God can use times of sickness. In verse 8, Habakkuk talks about God angry with the rivers, God's wrath against the streams, God's rage against the sea. Verse 12, he again comes back to the theme of God's wrath. We touched on that last week. He's maybe thinking of God at the dividing of the Red Sea, or he's thinking of the Babylonian invasion, how when these soldiers invaded, they would churn up the rivers and the streams. And the glint of their flying arrows in verse 11, the lightning of their flashing spears, God threshing the nations. Again, many people don't believe in a God of wrath and of judgment, but I've got to say, you know, if there is no wrath in God, I don't think he's a God who's worthy of our worship. God is angry at wrongdoing. I mean, if your children, for example, turned their back on you and walked away from you, if you have children, you'd be angry. You'd feel, after all I did for them, why do they want nothing to do with me? When God sees his people here in Habakkuk's day worshipping false gods, it made him angry. And their lack of repentance meant that now an invasion is coming to punish them. The law of God was being broken. He has every right to punish them. And this invasion is such a punishment. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But that's not my main focus this evening. My main focus is on Habakkuk, who is hearing of these things in fear and trembling. And he says so in verse 16. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. My legs were trembling. He's praying. Now notice that. And remember, I've said the whole of chapter 3 is a prayer. But he's also doing more something also significant as well as praying. He's rejoicing, which in the circumstances might have seemed a strange thing to do. But listen to his words in verse 17. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. Sometimes the opponents of Christianity say that faith is just a crutch to lean on. But that certainly doesn't sound like Habakkuk here. He's facing the crop failures when the farmers have been taken away into exile. He's facing the empty stalls and sheep pens because the animals have been taken by the Babylonians. But rather than just keeping his eyes closed and just holding on for grim death, as it were, hoping that everything's going to work out all right in the end, Habakkuk is rejoicing. And this is difficult, but he's rejoicing in the Lord. He's joyful in God as Saviour because, in the words of Romans 8, he knows that nothing in all creation is able to separate us from God and from the love of God. Not life nor death, not angels nor demons, not trouble or hardship, not persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. Why? Well, because God is sovereign. Verse 19, the sovereign Lord is my strength. And then he says, he makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go up on the heights. Wonder if you ever watched a mountain deer or an ibex maybe climbing up the side of a cliff. It looks impossible. Very steep cliff with very little grip on it. And yet an animal like that can go right up a cliff. And it's amazing to watch them, how sure-footed they are, even though it seems to be impossible. And certainly for a human it would be impossible to go up that cliff face. Well, here Habakkuk is rejoicing that God has made his feet like the feet of a deer. He is able to find safety as he navigates through this trouble. He is able to find God in the midst of harsh and trying circumstances. God has enabled him to go on the heights. He's not languishing in the depths. He's rejoicing in the Lord as God enables him and God helps him through this trying and difficult time. So let me end by going back to this book, Facing God in the Darkness. When lockdown's over, I'll maybe get some of these and make them available for the congregation. Because how do we respond when prayers seemingly aren't being answered? How do we respond when the wicked certainly seem to be prospering? How do we respond when life hurts, when we're facing natural disaster or war or plague? Well, hasn't it been Habakkuk's theme all through this book that the just shall live by faith? And he's going to make as well the joy of the Lord his strength. And for you and for me, isn't that the challenge as well? We know about the cross of Calvary. We know about the suffering of God. We know about the punishment that Jesus bore upon the cross. We know about his love preached to us from the pulpit of the cross. We know about his resurrection from the dead, that suffering comes to an end, that there's hope of resurrection and of new life. We know this, and we have been moved by this. We have believed in this. We have trusted the Lord. We have rested in the Lord. We have received the Lord into our lives. And we have said with Habakkuk, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. That doesn't mean, believer, of course, your life will be sorted, as this little book indicates. No matter how your life might pan out, ME or MS, kidnapping, business failure, marriage breakdown, special needs child or children, you live believing that God is sovereign. And what joy that gives, and how that sweetens a bitter cup, believing that God does all things well, and I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to shepherd me through this. And I've committed my life to him, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, even though I've got a bitter cup that I have to drink. No wonder Habakkuk ends, for the director of music on my stringed instruments, this is something to sing about. The joy of the Lord is your strength. This is something to sing about. And last week, Catherine Park sang these words for us in a lovely modern hymn. We'll maybe sing it when we're back in church again. And we're going to end this evening with that same song again, Catherine again singing it. And let's listen to these words that encourage us to be joyful in God our Saviour. And to live by faith, the just shall live by faith, that our God is sovereign, that our God is great, and we rest in him, our shield and our defender. He cares for us, even in difficult times, and what hope that brings to us as we rejoice in him, as we pray to him, as we put our faith in him, and as we let faith, hope, and love be all that we need for these days and for the days that are to come. Let's listen to this beautiful song.